This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. The Catholic Church teaches the following truths. 1. Baptized persons who dissent from an authoritative teaching of the Catholic Church become heretics. By such dissent, heretics are automatically expelled from the Church. As a consequence of their automatic expulsion from the Church, heretics are incapable of holding an office in the Church, including that of the papacy, for they are not even members of the Church. 2. The authoritative teaching of the Catholic Church's magisterium is infallible. As a consequence, the magisterium cannot authoritatively promulgate or endorse false doctrines. In view of the current situation of the Church, the conclusions derived from those two truths are 1. Since Francis, the man currently regarded by many as the Catholic Pope, clearly rejects numerous Catholic teachings and endorses religious indifferentism, he is a heretic who cannot hold the papal office, for he is not even a member of the Catholic Church. And 2. Since Francis presides over a body which adheres to the false teachings of Vatican II, and considers those teachings authoritative, he cannot in fact wield the infallible teaching authority of the Catholic Magisterium. He is therefore not the Pope, and the chair of St. Peter is vacant. Both truths, that is, 1, the Church's teaching on heretics, and 2, the Church's teaching on the infallibility of the Magisterium, prove that Francis is not the Pope, but a heretical non-Catholic anti-Pope. Both arguments are definitive and irrefutable. They have been substantiated in tremendous detail and with abundant documentation. But there's another argument that reaches the same conclusion, perhaps even more simply and more directly, and it does so without even entering into a discussion of the theological principles, facts, or arguments, which demonstrate that Francis is a heretic and must be considered one, and or that the Vatican II sect has used what would be infallible authority, if its leaders were valid Catholic popes, to impose its false doctrines. This third argument, which reaches the same conclusion, without the aforementioned steps of argumentation, concerns merely recognizing the Catholic Church's teaching on professing the true faith and simply recognizing the content of Francis's profession of faith. In his 1943 encyclical Mystici Corporis, Pope Pius XII taught, quote, "Actually, only those are to be included as members of the Church who have received the laver of regeneration and profess the true faith," end quote. It is the teaching of the Catholic Church that you can only consider as members of the Catholic Church those who have received the laver of regeneration, that is, water baptism, and profess the true faith. Consider this very carefully. If someone does not profess the true faith, he cannot be considered a member of the Catholic Church. In the Latin of Mystici Corporis, number 22, the word for profess is profitentur. Profitentur is the third person plural of the verb profideor, which means profess, publicly declare, openly confess. The verb refers to what is stated, displayed, or acknowledged out in the open. To be considered part of the Church, one must publicly state, display, and declare the true faith. In the Latin of Mystici Corporis, the words for and the true faith are veramque fidem. So the simple question is, does Francis profess, state, and display the true faith? In considering the question, remember that to be considered a member of the Church, you cannot simply call yourself a Catholic but profess or display a false faith. There are numerous schismatic bodies that claim the name Catholic. What you call yourself is not relevant to this particular issue. What matters is that to be considered part of the Church, the faith you profess must be the true faith, verum fidem. Before answering the question about whether Francis professes and displays the true faith, note that the very same Latin verb, profideor, which was used by Pius XII in Mystici Corporis, was also used by Pope Eugene IV in the Council of Florence. In the solemn dogmatic bull Cantate Domino, 1441, Pope Eugene IV declared, quote, "It, the Holy Roman Church, firmly believes, professes, profitator, and preaches that all those who are outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans, but also Jews or heretics and schismatics, cannot share an eternal life and will go into the everlasting fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels unless they are joined to the Church before the end of their lives, that the unity of the ecclesiastical body is of such importance that only for those who abide in it do the Church's sacraments contribute to salvation, and do fasts, almsgiving, and other works of piety and practices of the Christian militia produce eternal rewards, and that nobody can be saved, no matter how much he has given away in alms, and even if he has shed blood in the name of Christ, unless he has persevered in the bosom and unity of the Catholic Church," end quote. In defining this point of the true faith, the Council used profitator, professes, the third person singular of the very same verb, profideor, which Pius XII used. Hence, the profession of the true faith on salvation is the following. 1. All who die outside the Catholic Church are not saved. 2. It's so necessary and important to belong to the Catholic Church that spiritual practices will only be productive for salvation for those in it. And 3. It's so necessary to join the Catholic Church that even if you shed blood in the name of Christ, you will not be saved if you are not part of the Catholic Church. If someone professes, states, or displays a position contrary to this truth on the doctrine of salvation, he is not professing the true faith. He is professing a false, non-Catholic faith. That's precisely why Pope Leo XIII declared in the encyclical Satis Cognitum No. 13, June 29, 1896, quote, "You are not to be looked upon as holding the true Catholic faith if you do not teach that the faith of Rome is to be held," end quote. Moreover, the Council of Florence defined as a dogma that it's a mortal sin to observe Judaism or the Mosaic Law after the promulgation of the gospel. In doing so, the council again used the very same word, profitator, professes, from the very same verb, profideor. Thus, professing the true faith on Judaism means stating, declaring, and displaying that the observance of Judaism or the Mosaic Law is condemned, mortally sinful, and incompatible with salvation. If someone professes a different position on the Jews and their religious practices, he is not professing the true faith. He is professing a false, non-Catholic faith. So, the question is, does Francis profess the true faith? Of course, the answer, as any honest person familiar with our material knows, is a resounding and thunderous no. In less than a year, Francis has publicly repudiated the necessity for non-Catholics to convert to the Catholic Church approximately 10 different times. He did so emphatically 3 times in one speech on August 7, 2013. He said, quote, "Do you need to convince the other to become Catholic?" He responded, "No, no, no," end quote.
Voy a convencer a otro que sea católico. No, no, no.
It is indisputable. Francis does not profess the true faith. He professes, displays, and states a false, non-Catholic faith. In his interview with Eugenio Scalfari, Francis repeatedly denounced converting non-Catholics. He explicitly stated that he has no intention of converting the atheist. He assured his good friend Abraham Skorka that the Catholic Church cannot engage in evangelization of Jews or others. In his interview with Antonio Spadaro, he stated that the way for unity with the quote Orthodox is not their conversion, but for them to remain non-Catholics. In a December 14, 2013 interview with La Stampa, Francis taught that there are non-Catholic saints and martyrs, and he even endorsed the idea that a Lutheran minister could be advanced to, quote, canonization. He has taught that atheists and others can be saved without the faith by following what they consider to be good. In his astounding apostolic exhortation Evangelii Gaudium, which Francis, by the way, addressed to the Universal Church and identified as a document of the, quote, Universal Magisterium in No. 51, he professes that he holds Jews to have a valid covenant with God, No. 247, contrary to the teaching of the Catholic Church. He professes that it's, quote, admirable for Muslims to participate in daily Islamic prayers and religious services, No. 252. He professes that non-Christians are, quote, justified by the grace of God, No. 254, directly contrary to the Catholic profession of faith and Catholic dogma that only Christians, that is, those with the Catholic faith, can be justified. In No. 254 of that document, Francis also speaks of non-Christian rites, signs, and expressions. In other words, the false beliefs and wicked practices of non-Christian and pagan religions, as, quote, God's working and things which, quote, the Holy Spirit raises up, end quote. That, of course, is directly opposed to the profession of the Catholic faith, that false and non-Christian religions are the product of evil spirits. In No. 255, Francis professes that religious freedom, whereby everyone has the right to promote any religious view in public, is to be viewed as, quote, a fundamental human right, directly contrary to the Catholic profession of faith on religious liberty. Francis does not profess the true faith. He professes a false, non-Catholic faith. Many other examples could be given, both before and after his, quote, election. See our video, What Francis Really Believes. Furthermore, keep in mind that a profession of faith can be made not only by words, such as the words we've just cited from Francis, but also by deeds. St. Thomas Aquinas, Summa Theologiae, quote, "Now man can make profession of his inward faith by deeds as well as by words. And in either profession, if he makes a false declaration, he sins mortally," end quote. Concerning Francis's profession in deed, he takes part in condemned Jewish worship, contrary to Catholic teaching. He takes part in non-Catholic worship. He even uses his, quote, authority to organize kosher meals and other aspects of condemned Jewish worship so that Jews can observe the Mosaic Law, contrary to the profession of the true faith. In one such meeting in January of 2014, Francis hosted Argentine Jewish leaders for a kosher lunch and joint prayer. Together, Francis and the Jewish leaders intoned Psalm 133 in Hebrew, which says, quote, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity," end quote. Francis thus professes in word and deed that Jews who reject the Son have unity with God the Father. The profession of the true faith is precisely the opposite. No one who denies the Son has salvation or unity with the Father. 1 John 2:23, quote, "No one who denies the Son has the Father." 1 John 5:12, quote, "Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." So the answer to our question, does Francis profess the true faith, could not be more clear. It's a fact that Francis does not profess, state, and display the true faith, but a false, non-Catholic faith. According to Catholic teaching, therefore, he cannot be counted among the members of the Church, for only those who are baptized and profess the true faith are to be considered members of the Church, as we covered earlier. The significance and the force of this argument should be apparent. It proves that Francis cannot be considered a member of the Catholic Church without even venturing into a discussion of whether he is personally guilty of heresy. We don't need to go there, although one can go there quite effectively if one chooses to. Rather, we can prove that Francis must not be considered a member of the Catholic Church based on a simple recognition and observation of the content of his external profession of faith. Now, of course, the fact that Francis does not profess the true faith but a false faith is connected to the fact that he is a heretic. The reason he doesn't profess the true faith is that he's a heretic and an apostate, a fact which can be and has been proven without any doubt. But it's not even necessary to venture into the territory of whether he is personally a heretic to prove that he cannot be considered a member of the Catholic Church. The point is proven by a simple observation of the content of his external profession of faith and an observation of the content of the profession of the true faith. In fact, many false traditionalists who decry the new religion and its new teachings but accept Francis make such an observation. They note that there is a contradiction between the pre-Vatican II religion and the post-Vatican II religion on matters of faith. They compare the new teaching on matters of faith with the previous teaching, and they complain about the discontinuity. They fail, however, to reach the conclusion Catholic teaching requires when confronted by a discontinuity between two professions of faith in the external forum. Someone who professes a false faith cannot be considered in the true church with those who profess the true faith. To consider one who professes a false faith in the true church with those who profess the true faith is heresy. It denies the church's unity, a mark of the church, a supernatural protection and promise given to us by Jesus Christ himself. For by holding that one who professes a false faith, such as Francis, is to be considered in the true church, one either contradicts the truth that all in the church have the same faith, or one equates the profession of the true faith, for example, that non-Catholics need to join the Catholic Church, with the profession of a false faith, that is, Francis's profession that non-Catholics don't need to join the Catholic Church. Moreover, once it's clear that Francis cannot be counted among the members of the Church, the debate about whether he is the Pope is over. Everything hinges on whether he is to be considered a member of the Catholic Church. For contrary to what you might read in a typically misleading and dishonest false traditionalist publication, the issue of whether someone outside the church, for example a heretic, can hold the papal office is not an open question. It's a settled issue. As Pope Leo XIII taught in Satis Cognitum, quote, "No one, therefore, unless in communion with Peter, can share in his authority, since it is absurd to imagine that he who is outside can command in the church," end quote. It's absurd to maintain that someone outside the church can command in the church. It's therefore certain that someone who is outside the church cannot be the Pope, for the papacy is an office which by divine law involves the power to command. The fact that one outside the church, a heretic, etc., cannot be the Pope is further confirmed by the dogma that a Pope is the visible head of the church, and you cannot be the head of the church when you are not even a member of it. False traditionalists who obstinately teach that someone outside the church, a heretic, a non-member, etc., can be considered the Pope are promoting that which is absurd, condemned, and contrary to the explicit teaching of the Magisterium. Therefore, the very observation that Francis professes a false faith ends the debate about whether he is to be considered the Pope. He is not. This observation also applies to the previous Vatican II antipopes, of course. They professed a false faith as well. It would apply to anyone who endorses and promotes false ecumenism, such as all the Novus Ordo, quote, bishops in communion with antipope Francis. As Pope Pius XI's Mortalium Animos taught, To promote false ecumenism is to promote a false faith. Therefore, anyone who promotes false ecumenism cannot be considered in the church, since that person does not profess the true faith. The consequences of these facts are profound. They prove that the very recognition of Francis as the Pope is a recognition of his faith as true. Consider that deeply. As much as false traditionalists might complain about this conclusion, there is no escape from it. Their typical tactic of accepting Francis but ignoring or dissenting from his profession of faith won't work. For Francis is not simply committing theological mistakes while professing the true faith. No, he openly professes a false faith on issues of Catholic teaching and the basic profession of the true faith. Thus, the very recognition of Francis as the Pope is a statement that the faith he professes is true. That means that all who obstinately consider Francis to be the Pope in the face of the facts necessarily do the following. They profess that rejecting the conversion of non-Catholics, rejecting the conversion of Jews, rejecting the conversion of atheists, and rejecting the conversion of schismatics is the true faith. They profess that the promotion of false ecumenism is the true faith. They profess that teaching that Protestants and schismatics who reject the papacy and other Catholic dogmas are in the Church of Christ is the true faith. They profess that the endorsement of non-Catholics as saints and martyrs is the true faith. They profess that supporting a Lutheran for, quote, canonization is the true faith. They profess that the public promotion of religious liberty as a fundamental human right, according to which false religions cannot be curtailed in the public expression of false beliefs, is the true faith. They profess that teaching non-Christians are justified by the grace of God without the Catholic faith is the true faith. They profess that the promotion of Islamic prayers and religious services as admirable is the true faith. They profess that considering the rights and beliefs of non-Christian religions to be the work of the Holy Ghost is the true faith. They profess that teaching that Jews can have the Father while rejecting the Son is the true faith. There's no way around it. For if they say that the faith Francis professes is false, they are saying he's not the Pope, for someone who professes a false faith cannot be considered the Pope. Hence, by stating that he's the Pope, they are stating that his profession of faith is true, and that is nothing short of diabolical. That's why this issue is so serious. It's imperative for people to reject Francis as a heretical non-Catholic antipope. For by failing to do so, people are falling into the acceptance of heresy and apostasy, and the identification of a false faith with the true faith.